The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
On a beautiful Wednesday night in New York City, get you set for Game 5 of the World Series, Yankees-Dodgers, and a guy you'll be seeing on your TV screen in about an hour and a half, the great Tom Verducci. Tom, thank you very much for stopping by. How you doing?
I'm doing great. What a night here at the ballpark.
I think it's almost too warm, to be honest with you.
I don't know. I usually take layers to these World Series games. No layers tonight. I like it.
It's just matching L.A. It's like you have, I mean, you're on the East Coast, but it feels like L.A. right now, doesn't it?
It is Dodger weather, for what that's worth, but a comfortable night for everybody, for sure.
So 2004 is going to be brought up a lot, because that is the one time we've ever seen a team come back from 3-0 down. And I've been asking this the last day, like, when did we know in 04 that this was unique? So I ask you, looking at 04 and looking at what we saw last night, does this feel unique, or is this just a team that won a Game 4 to keep their season alive?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, those games are really close in 04, right? I know other than the Game 3, the Yankees just blew them out.
Right.
It seemed to be in control of the series, but, you know, the Red Sox just, David Ortiz, big hit after big hit. I don't feel the same vibe here. We're not deep enough into it yet, but I did feel the momentum change, obviously, once with the Volpe home run. And that eighth inning, don't underestimate that eighth inning, because Dave Roberts and the Dodgers intentionally punted the end of that game. And what they did was they kept Luke Weaver in play for tonight, and they had a lot of Yankees go home after the game last night feeling really good about their strokes. So that eighth inning, to me, is going to have a carryover tonight.
So what should he have done then? Because maybe it's because I have the last
try to
Roberts.
Win it. Yeah, but try to win it which, in the series.
But with which arm? Like, they're down by two runs. It's a bullpen game. He knows they're playing today. He knows they have a lead. Like, in your opinion, which arm should he have gone to in the eighth inning that maybe changes everything?
It's a great question. I'm not surprised, because this is the way he's done it. We saw that in the NLCS against the Mets. But for me, you've got, what, six of your high leverage guys out there. One of them can pitch last night and come back and pitch tonight, whether it's Ryan Brazier or Brewster Gratterall. I want somebody in the eighth inning to give me three outs, keep the game at two, for the sole reason of making Luke Weaver go back out there and pitch the ninth inning, which, if it doesn't take him out of play in Game 5, it certainly compromises him for Game 5. So that's what I would have done, but again, I'm not surprised, because this has been their MO.
Tom, momentum, you mentioned that word earlier, in baseball is different than, say, momentum in, say, the Super Bowl, which is the ultimate championship for football, because you just start to move and feel and emotionally get different in a game. It doesn't have to carry over. In baseball, momentum has to carry over to the next game. How does that do that for the Yankees, who have been, I mean, cold, dysfunctional, you know, error-filled? How does the momentum from yesterday carry over into today?
Well, for me, the biggest at-bat is going to be Aaron Judge's first at-bat, because I really like what I saw last night. I thought his body was very quiet at the plate. He saw 10 pitches out of the strike zone last night. He chased only one of them. Mm. And that has been a major, major issue for him. So he looked much quieter. And then that last ball he hit off a slider, 108 miles an hour. That's the hardest ball he's hit off a secondary pitch in 35 days.
Wow.
Mm. Now, maybe it's just a blip. I don't know. But if I'm the Yankees, I'm feeling good about the way he left the ballpark last night, about his stroke. And if he has a really good at-bat, even if it's an out, if it's a good at-bat where he's not chasing, square something up, then you've got something again. And then you know, you guys, this team is way different when he is a threat. And he hasn't been a threat in this series, but he just might be on the verge of doing that.
We debated whether or not Dave Roberts should have walked him in that situation.
Yeah, don't let him get hot. That was my worry watching that in the eighth inning.
Yeah,
that
but again,
that's, could get him going.
Yeah, let's say you have Brent Honeywell. No offense to him, but he's like the last guy on your staff, right? And you're basically allowing these at-bats, whether it was Verdugo, that long at-bat, whether it was Soto, who doesn't need any more confidence, but he squared one up,
yep,
and Judge as well. So, again, you're making the Yankees feel good when you had an opportunity kind of to just shut the game down there. Even if you lose 6-4, you're not creating momentum.
So Freddie Freeman has put together a historic World Series, home run in every game, going back to 2021. He's already set that record. If you're Gerrit Cole in the first inning, do you drill him? Do you go up and in? Do you pitch around him? Do you take a different approach than what the Yankees have against Freddie recently?
That is a great question, because Freddie actually has good career numbers off Gerrit Cole as well. And you know, as a hitter, and the Dodgers have been doing this all postseason, with Gerrit Cole, you're going to set your eyes at the top of the zone and sit on heater, especially early in a count. So if I'm Gerrit Cole, I know that's my go-to pitch. But with Freddie Freeman right now, the way he's turning those pitches around, I just can't rely on my strength. I actually have to go away from my strength the first time up, whether it's dropping in first pitch curveball, something to get him off the heater early in the count. But you're right. I think he's so hot right now, you have to do something different. I'm not saying you give him four wide. You're Gerrit Cole. You're going to pitch to him, but I would definitely mix up the pattern more.
We talked about Gerrit Cole pitching yesterday, and obviously it was never discussed. Were you surprised that it wasn't in a do-or-die game, Game 4? Now, ultimately, when you think back on it, in retrospect, we'll say, oh, it was a bullpen game. The Yankees, of course, were supposed to match them around and get this game. And then you have Gerrit Cole pitching on regular rest for Game 5. But were you surprised it was not even discussed, or that even Gerrit Cole didn't say, Skip, give me the rock?
Yeah, not at this point in his career, not after, you know, he had the elbow injury in the first half of the season. It's a 34-year-old Gerrit Cole who's still, to me, his arm strength is just getting to where he should be. His velocity in his last start here in the World Series, Game 1, it's the second highest he's had all year on the four-seam fastball. So he's got some strength. He's pitched very rarely this year on this fifth day like he is today. So he's had extra rest most of his starts. He has not thrown 100 pitches, guys, in 91 days. It's not the same Gerrit Cole. He's been 80 to 89 on pitch count every time out this postseason, and I don't think it's going to change tonight. As big as this game is, I know he's got all winter to rest, but I think the Yankees are looking at 5 innings from Gerrit Cole, 85 to 90 pitches.
Wow.
I could be wrong. But just based on where he is right
now. So that makes the first two innings
huge.
Probably the most important two innings of this season for him.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting to me if Aaron Boone does kind of take the governors off. I thought it was a fairly quick hook in Game 1, right, 88 pitches. I thought his stuff was still really good. His secondary stuff was awesome the third time around. But as I said, this is it for him. This is the end of the road for Gerrit Cole. Not for the Yankees necessarily, but for Gerrit Cole, this is empty the tank night.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. We're talking to the great Tom Verducci. Like, we were going through what you said, which is 88 pitches, 89 pitches, 85 pitches. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. He hasn't thrown 100 pitches in a while. But isn't this the moment where you just got to go say, screw it, basically? Like, unless there's something wrong with him that maybe no one is telling us.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily it, but I do think you described a scenario that Aaron Boone is going to find himself in. Because when Gerrit gets to that 85 to 90 pitch mark, which has been the finish line for him in the month of October, do you then push him beyond that because it is Gerrit Cole?
Don't you have to?
You probably have to, but you're also thinking, you know, maybe I'm pushing him too far. If I've got somebody in my bullpen at that point who I think is a better option than Gerrit Cole, even though it's Gerrit Cole, and I'm just saying, that's a lot of pressure on Aaron Boone to make that call. Ooh. Gerrit Cole definitely gets more rope than anybody else. He's earned that, right? Either way, stay with him. Go to your pen. That's a tough call for Aaron Boone when that pitch count gets to 90.
I thought it was interesting, Tom, after Game 1 where he said he's done. It was like Gerrit said to him, Skip, I'm done. And I don't know if that was the case or if that was Aaron making a decision for him, but whose decision is it going to be?
That's a great call, because I think there's still some lack of clarity about what happened in Game 1. I know that Aaron Boone went to Gerrit Cole after he pitched that inning where he got the top of the order up with a guy on second base to finish it out, all on secondary stuff.
Yep.
And he said, I want you to go back out and take me through Max Muncy, who was the second batter up, because he didn't really have a bullpen option set up for Muncy. Gerrit said, okay. He pitches to Teoscar Hernandez leaving off the inning and lost them. Worked ahead of the count, then lost them. And something happened there that Aaron Boone saw, maybe what Gerrit Cole said, where Aaron Boone said, I have to go get Gerrit Cole out of the game, even though I don't like Holmes on Muncy.
Yeah, right.
He still made that call. So that tells me there's probably something there that we don't know about.
Yeah.
that both of them were really not comfortable extending that outing.
Tom, let me flip you to the Dodgers. Have you seen anything like what Shohei Ohtani is trying to do? I mean, seeing him run, literally holding the collar of his shirt so he doesn't jostle his arm is... It's unprecedented when I think about playing it.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This game, or any baseball game, baseball athletes don't do that.
No.
I mean, so how unprecedented is this?
Jack Youngblood does it in the Super Bowl with
exactly,
a broken leg.
Exactly.
Right?
Break baseball, my leg, tape it up, spit on it, we're good. We're football players.
I don't know
players.
What the comp is in baseball, but there's no question in my mind he is compromised.
Right.
He's saying he's fine. He's not feeling things. I watch him swing the bat. It's not the same swing. He had a cookie last night that he – you know, it was a deep fly to center field, but it's normally a pitch he absolutely hammers. Mm-hmm. He's chasing pitches out of the zone. I think he's got a problem, especially reaching for the ball down and away with that shoulder. Definitely compromised running, as you mentioned, with that position that he's got his hand in. He can't run as fast. So if I'm the Yankees, I know it's Ohtani, and you respect everything that he is, but I need to be more aggressive pitching to him. Mm. You know, I don't think it's the same dangerous Ohtani. He can still hurt you, don't get me wrong. But you don't want to walk him like you saw the other night in game
yeah.
three.
Oh, and Clark Schmidt walked him on four pitches.
Right.
Yeah, they got to go after him. And I thought to a degree last night they did. I mean, Mark Leiter striking him out is still one of the most stunning things I've seen in the postseason.
Right, that was down and away, though. Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah, I mean, it's odd to see both Muncy and Shohei Ohtani have really chased these last couple of nights. I don't know where this ballpark got in the heads of the left-handed hitters.
Yeah.
But they did such a great job against the Mets and the NLCS controlling the strike zone. We'll see what happens tonight with that.
So Jack Flaherty was brilliant in game one against the Mets, comes back in game five. It's freaking batting practice. He pitched very well against the Yankees earlier in this series. Do you see the same thing where the Yankees have now seen him and they are going to kind of tee off on Jack the way the Mets were able to?
I don't know about tee off, but I do think advantage goes to the Yankees same the second time. And with Jack, it's all about he's going to throw a ton of spin at the bottom of the strike zone. Do you stay off those pitches, get him into the strike zone, take advantage of it? I do think seeing the shape of the spin as much as they did in the game one will help them in this start, seeing him again this quickly. I think that's, like, Jack Flaherty's a really, really good pitcher, but that's the way he beats you. I think Gerrit Cole has multiple ways to beat you. We've seen him lean on his curveball at starts mm-hmm. this year. You know, we've seen the slider. We've seen even the changeup from time to time, primarily four-seam, but I think he's got more avenues to beat you, seeing you a second time, than Jack Flaherty. So I do think that's an advantage for the Yankees. I think their at-bats will be better this game.
You think this thing goes back to L.A. for Game 6?
It looks to me on paper like it, because right now I think the way Gerrit Cole is throwing the baseball, I think he can control the early innings of this game better than Jack Flaherty can. I don't think it's a blowout. I think, listen, Dave Roberts managed that game last night to have all his gunpowder dry for tonight.
Yeah.
So the Yankees are not going to score five runs off Jack Flaherty. I mean, the minute the wheels start to get wobbly, it's bullpen time and high leverage guys for the Dodgers. So this game will be, I think, closely kept by both managers. I do think Garrett's out there longer than Jack Flaherty, and I think that's the advantage the Yankees have.
So we so rarely see teams even challenge a 3-0 deficit. And we talked about it. If the Yankees win tonight, they're the first team in World Series history to go down 3-0 and even force a sixth game. And when you look at the LCSs, it's rare, too. Mets did it in 99, Braves did it in 98, 2020 with the Astros, and then obviously the Yankees. That's it! Every other team loses in five. So it's an inexact science, but when do the Dodgers start to think about it? When do they start to feel the heat of baseball history with a 3-0 lead? Is it now, or is it if they lose tonight?
I think if they're on the plane tonight, knowing they have to play another game, they're going to feel that. Because I mentioned they invested a lot in this particular game with the way they ran the game last night. I don't want to say they completely punted the game last night, but they didn't chase a deficit in a situation where they had an opportunity to clinch the World Series. And I get why they did it. I don't really love it, but I understand it. But then you better go out and win the next game because that's where you put all your chips on. And then if this game gets away, the one that you really relied on to win with a fully rested bullpen, that's a lot of pressure going into a game six.
Yeah. I mean, and we talked about Judge. We know Soto. The other big bat last night was Anthony Volpe. And I was surprised by it. I didn't expect to see this Volpe return. We saw him in flashes in his first couple of years, but didn't expect to see that. Were you surprised by Volpe's energy? I mean, he was the catalyst last night.
Yeah, first of all, I love watching him play shortstop. Yeah. It's like a puppy dog playing with a toy on the carpet. You know, really, he wants to run everything down. Right. He's super aggressive. You saw how much dirt he had on his uniform.
It's like it's intentional.
Oh, it was awesome. But, yeah, in terms of the swing, certainly, he's really scuffled against spin in this World Series. Now, listen, Daniel Hudson made a complete mistake there. I mean, that was just a cement mixer, middle of the plate. You should hammer it. Give him credit. He did. He took advantage of a mistake. So, yeah, where that came from with the way he's been scuffling against spin did surprise me. But you guys felt it in this ballpark. I mean, that's a momentum changer. Yeah. It could be a series changer. We talked about Freddie Freeman's slam in game one, right? And we may be looking back at that swing and saying that's where things switched.
And it was so important because the first three innings, the Yankees were doing kind of their typical frustrating things. They got 2-1 and one out in the first inning. They don't score. That's after Freeman hits a home run. Volpe makes the base running mistake. Mm-hmm. They only get one run in. Maybe it turns into two. And Rizzo had just popped out before that. It felt like the Yankees were doing all those negative things right before Volpe took advantage of the cement mixer you talked about and hit it over the fence.
Yeah, it was pretty cool because that was the inning I was talking to Aaron Boone on air when the inning started. So when I do that, you know, I have to wait till the half inning is over to get out of that dugout. So I was actually in the dugout while all that was going on.
Wow.
And, man, it was like a Little League dugout in there. That
Did
place,
it get really it, quiet? It,
well, when that ball went out, it got really loud. It was really cool to see.
No, I mean in the Dodgers dugout.
No, I'm on the Yankees
side. Oh, you were in the Yankees
side. So I'm sure over there it was like, you know, the New York Public Library over there.
Right, right.
On the Yankee side, man, it's great when these guys, and Tiki, you've seen it, your days playing. It's so cool when you see these polished professional athletes turn into little kids.
Right.
And you know what happened when
that ball went out. It's funny because I felt like I haven't seen that a lot in this World Series for the Yankees. Right? You haven't seen them look like they're having fun, like they're enjoying it. It's like the weight of the world is on them. We haven't won a championship in 15 years. Every little thing that I do is going to be scrutinized and analyzed and everything else. But last night it felt like fun, which is what it's supposed to be. It's
a
game.
And again, getting back to that eighth inning, they added on to that in the eighth inning. It was tack on run. Yeah. So I think the pressure valve has definitely been released. Listen, you're still down 3-1.
Sure.
Nobody wants to be in that spot. But I think as optimistic as you can be as a group, I think the Yankees came to the park today with a lot of optimism.
Will be an interesting night. Game 5 of the World Series. You'll be able to see it on Fox. Tom, we appreciate it, man. Thank you very much, Tom.
Yeah, it was a pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Man. Great to see you. Tom Verducci. You'll see him tonight. Coverage, Yankees-Dodgers, Game 5 of the World Series. We'll come back. We'll get back to your calls. How are we feeling tonight, Yankee fans? 888-808-1019.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.